Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show. Conservative news and commentary addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio and television network. Leading off with our video presentations today is one from Dr. Steve Turley's YouTube channel, and this is from a few days ago, discussing the latest developments in the Trump administration's efforts to investigate the Russia collusion hoax that Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard has called a treasonous conspiracy involving the highest levels of the American government, and which undermined the first term of Donald Trump's presidency and also deliberately interfered with the U.S.-Russian relations, adversely affecting world affairs.
Meanwhile, we're still waiting for accountability on the whole Russia collusion made-up story.
Yes.
Now that DNI, Tulsi Gabbard, has released all of those classified documents, we're actually seeing who was behind all of this. Do you want to see indictments?
I absolutely want to see indictments, Maria. Look, of course, you've got to have the law follow the facts here. You don't just indict people to indict people. You indict people because they broke the law. But if you look at what Tulsi and Kash Patel have revealed in the last couple of weeks, I don't know how anybody can look at that and say that there wasn't aggressive violations of the law. What they basically did is they defrauded the American people in order to take Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign talking points and turn them into intelligence by defrauding the American people, defrauding the intelligence agencies, lying about what the intel said. They would take something that supported a Hillary Clinton campaign talking point and they would overemphasize it and exaggerate it. They took anything that actually contradicted that narrative and they buried it deep. And through that, they actually laundered Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign talking points through the American intelligence services. That's a violation of the people's trust. That's a violation of what our intelligence services should be doing. And I absolutely think they broke the law. And you're going to see a lot of people get indicted for that.
It's really happening, gang. You heard the vice president himself. The indictments are indeed coming. In his words, a lot of people are about to be arrested over the whole Russian collusion hoax perpetrated on the American people. And as we'll see, on the entire world, this was a hoax that caused massive geopolitical destabilization on the world stage. And it now appears that those behind this wicked fabrication are finally about to be held accountable. Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your patriot professor. Happy Monday to all of you. I'm here to help you make sense of a rapidly changing world as the far left desperately tries to stop the unstoppable rise of a new conservative age. So if you want a front row seat on how you are changing the world in ways you never even imagined, make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard just dropped another massive bombshell. She was just interviewed in an explosive podcast with Miranda Devine, and Tulsi made some stunning revelations about the Russia collusion hoax.
So when people look at the newly declassified Durham appendix, you'll see a number of quite shocking statements in there coming from people like then DNC chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, talking about how, and I'm paraphrasing here, but you know, Hillary Clinton's emails were deleted just in time. Statements like that, references towards some of Hillary Clinton's most senior advisors saying, hey, let's use the Russia play against Trump in order to diminish the attention that's going to Hillary Clinton's emails. And it actually points to statements about how Hillary herself approved one of these plans that was put forward again before her to heighten tensions around this Russia hoax, this alleged Russia collusion with Donald Trump, to draw attention away from her and away from the controversy that was surrounding her at that time. These documents also show that President Obama was briefed on this before the election. and how at that point in time, he talked about how he didn't want his legacy to be tainted by Hillary Clinton and her controversy and claimed to want to stay out of it. Obviously, at a certain point, he made a different decision, but it really, again, starts to lay the groundwork for how we see at the highest levels of power in our country. Remember, Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State. We see at the highest levels of power in our country how this narrative was very intentionally used, and some intelligence pointing to the use of foreign agents or assets to assist in this narrative that, again, was in essence executed to undermine President Trump's candidacy and to advance Hillary Clinton into the presidency.
Now, what was so significant about Tulsi's bombshells is that she revealed that the Russian collusion hoax did not just seek to delegitimize Trump's 2016 victory and sabotage his presidency. It certainly sought to do that, but it was far more holistic. It also intentionally sought to destabilize our relationship with the Russian Federation. Now, if you don't recall, this is how CNN reported on Trump's meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin back in 2018.
It was the simplest of all questions regarding Russia's attacks on our democracy. Did it happen?
So I have great confidence in my intelligence people, but I will tell you that President Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial today.
That was the President of the United States' answer. A kick in the groin to his counterintelligence men and women, to his country, and most to the truth.
Now, I know Chris Cuomo's had a very significant change of heart since those days, for sure. God bless him. But that, what you just saw there, is a perfect example of how the lies, the wicked lies, the Russian collusion hoax, destabilized our world. It destabilized our relations with a major, if not the major, nuclear power on the planet. And according to Tulsi, that was deliberate. The Russia hoax deliberately sought to prevent Trump from normalizing relations with Russia, which would have led to a far more peaceful world. It forced Trump to prove his innocence by being unnecessarily hostile to Russia. And in the end, it was all there to protect lucrative Chinese business relationships for American elites and sustain the military-industrial complex's profitable arms sales to NATO allies. Again, what's so key here is that this fraud, this Democrat-concocted hoax, did not just adversely affect a presidential election or even a presidency. It resulted in significant geopolitical destabilization with the single greatest nuclear power on the planet, all for the Democrats' own gain. These are sick people. What both Tulsi and JD revealed should chill every American who believes in honest government. According to the explosive documents released by Tulsi, Obama-era intelligence officials didn't just make mistakes. They systematically defrauded the American people and, like I said, the entire world. And here's basically how the scheme worked. They took Hillary Clinton's campaign talking points, literal political propaganda, and they laundered that propaganda through America's intelligence agencies to give the propaganda the appearance of legitimate intelligence. Now, just think about that. The most powerful intelligence apparatus in human history was turned into a campaign operation for Hillary Clinton. I mean, this wasn't incompetence. This wasn't mere bias. This was deliberate fraud on an industrial scale. The intelligence community's sacred duty is to catch terrorists and violent criminals and protect Americans, not to launder Hillary Clinton campaign talking points. When that line is crossed, when the watchers become the manipulators, gang, we are witnessing nothing less than the death of a viable governing republic. But there's something even more insidious at work here. The same elite class that lectures Americans about democracy and norms spent years using the most secretive and powerful agencies in government to overturn the results of a presidential election. They wrapped their political coup in the flag of national security while systematically lying to the American people. What makes Vance's prediction so credible is the evidence that's finally seeing daylight. Gabbard's document releases, they've exposed what many suspected but couldn't fully and explicitly prove, that the Russian investigation was built on deliberately falsified intelligence. The House Intelligence Committee's previously classified findings, now declassified, clearly reveal that intelligence officials had no evidence whatsoever that Russia actually succeeded in helping Trump win. In fact, they had evidence to the contrary. Every single intelligence agency informed the Obama administration, Obama himself, that there was not a shred of evidence to show that Russia had successfully interfered in our election. But that intelligence report, again, from every single intelligence agency, was deliberately buried in order to maintain their preferred narrative. Attorney General Pam Bondi has already launched a grand jury investigation. The Justice Department has established a strike force to evaluate potential criminal infractions among many people surrounding Obama, including Obama himself. This isn't political theater anymore. This really is the beginning of criminal accountability. The 2016 election represented more than just a choice between two candidates. As it turns out, it was a choice between the established elite and the forgotten American. And when the elite lost, they couldn't accept the verdict of the people. So they used every lever of power, the FBI, the CIA, the media, to overturn what they couldn't win at the ballot box. The beauty is that now we have an administration that understands that without accountability, without justice, the corruption ends up becoming the system itself, and we lose our republic. In summary, here again is Tulsi.
I mean, what will happen to them? Because I can't imagine, you know, they got away with it with Iraq. If they get away with it with Russia, the Russia hoax, you know, what's ever going to stop it?
Accountability.
And does that
accountability
mean jail?
Has to take place?
Is that jail?
We've referred all of the documents we have found. We will continue to refer them to the Department of Justice for a criminal referral. Attorney General Pam Bondi has created a strike force team in order to look at,
which is serious. It is
a serious thing that really draws into focus one team of her attorneys that's focused singularly on this issue. Which is critical. Accountability to those who are culpable for this, are responsible for this.
We stand at a crossroads. Either America will hold accountable those who corrupted its most sacred institutions, or it is going to signal that such corruption carries no consequence. Either the rule of law applies to everyone, or it applies to no one. The deep state counted on Americans forgetting. They counted on the complexity of their schemes obscuring their crimes. They counted on the media burying the story. They counted wrong. With J.D. Vance's promise of indictments, with Tulsi Gabbard's document releases and calls for accountability, with Pam Bondi's grand jury investigation, the reckoning has begun. The question isn't whether justice will come. It's how many of the conspirators will be held accountable when it does. For 8 years, they told us Russian collusion was real and Trump was a traitor. Now we know the real traitors were the ones making the accusations. The hunter has become the hunted, and their final hour has now arrived.
Our next video today is another of Dr. Turley's presentations, this one from the last few days also, discussing the latest events in the state of Texas Republican redistricting battle, rather I should say Republican-Democrat redistricting battle, that adds 5 new Republican congressional seats, and which state Texas state legislature Democrats walked out on to prevent a quorum necessary to pass the new redistricting map, which is going to be passed anyway. And it's a very interesting matter if you don't have not been tuned into it. So let's take a look here.
Things just got even worse for the fledgling, fleeing Texas Democrats. Governor Abbott just dropped the hammer. And on CNN, of all places, wait until you see the latest on these derelict Democrats and the absolute political disaster the ridiculous stunt has become. Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your patron professor, here to help you make sense of the madness as the far left desperately tries to stop the unstoppable rise of a new conservative age. So if you want a front row seat on how you are changing the world in ways you never even imagined, make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. We are now in the second. Second week of what's left of the Texas Democrats' desperate attempt at trying to thwart the inevitable, the redrawing of Texas's congressional maps to give the GOP 5 more solid red states for the midterms. Instead of staying, debating, deliberating, voting like adults, Democrat legislators have literally fled the state. They're holed up in Illinois and other blue states, essentially being harbored like fugitives, all while crying about democracy being under attack. And in the process, they're not just holding up the redistricting. If you can believe it, they're actually blocking crucial flood relief for Texans who desperately need it. So as Democrats claim to be defenders of democracy while running away from the democratic process, they're also claiming to care about helping people all the while they're playing political theater at the expense of flood victims. If you think it through, the Democrats have become a strange concoction of comedic relief mixed with vile evil. It's bizarre, to say the least. And of course, not to be outdone, you now have blue state governors like greasy-haired Gavin Newsom threatening Texas that if they go through with this redistricting plan, that he too would counter that redistricting by eliminating 5 GOP seats from California, which, in fairness, is not going to be easy. That's something that Newsom is not mentioning here. They basically have to hold a referendum in November to even get a green light for redistricting. California is a lot of hoops you have to jump through, including a redistricting commission, before they can even get started on something like that. Needless to say, Texas Governor Greg Abbott was hardly intimidated, and he just dropped a bombshell on CNN.
Well, let me ask you just this final question, sir, as a bigger picture item, which is, what's unusual about this is that you're attempting to do it in 2025, as opposed to waiting till the end of the decade, as normally is when the redistricting takes place. You've explained the Supreme Court decision that led you to do this. But what's going on, obviously, is not happening in Texas. It's not happening in a vacuum. We have Democrats in California and New York and other states saying, well, if Governor Abbott does this in Texas, we're going to add 5 Democratic seats. Are you not worried at all about a redistricting, gerrymandering arms race going on? And theoretically, is it not just better for voters to be picking their politicians instead of politicians to be picking their voters through gerrymandering?
Well, to be clear, listen, all those big blue states, they've already gerrymandered. Look at the map of Illinois. Look at the map of California, New York, and Massachusetts, and so many other blue states. They gerrymandered a long time ago. They got nothing left with regard to what they can do. And know this, if California tries to gerrymander 5 more districts, listen, Texas has the ability to eliminate 10 Democrats in our state. We can play that game more than they can because they have fewer Republican districts in their states.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott, don't be a stranger. Thanks for popping by. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Boom! That is the very definition of dropping the hammer. If Gavin Newsom wants to stick his slimy nose into Texas politics, he's going to find out the hard way that that never turns out to his benefit. So here's what it looks like, what Governor Abbott just threatened there. Right now, before the redistricting, Republican congressmen outnumber Democrats in Texas 2-1. So there are 25 Republican seats to the Democrats' 13. What Governor Abbott just proposed there would bring the Republican total to 35 seats, and the Democrats would drop to just 3. To which I ask, and I'm sure many of you are asking, why stop there? Why not just keep going? Why not just completely eliminate every single Democrat seat in your state? I mean, you could do it, so go ahead. I mean, Steve Bannon's a fan. Shortly after that interview on CNN, Bannon tweeted out that Governor Abbott needed to double down on that. Eliminate those 10 Democrat seats immediately. Make it happen. Make these Democrats pay for their ridiculous anti-Democratic antics. Both the Texas derelict Democrats and the greasy-haired governors who are making threats and giving them cover need to be made example of. Seriously, this isn't just about Texas. Gang, this is a preview of what Democrats will do nationwide when they can't win fairly. I mean, we've seen it before. When Democrats can't win elections, what do? They change voting rules. When they can't win debates, they censor speech. And now when they can't win votes, they literally run away from the very democratic process they claim they were the champions and guardians of. And this is exactly what these derelict Democrats are actually right now advocating all Democrats do in red states. Take a look at this clown show on MSNBC.
But there is no other choice. Just like we had no choice but to leave Texas to stop this corruption, other states, we're telling them, you have no choice now. You have to do this distasteful thing, or our democracy, our nation, the American dream is gone. It's toast. It's over.
So, Gene, based on what you're saying, should we anticipate that this is going to go on for another couple of weeks with Texas lawmakers, Democratic lawmakers, staying out of state and breaking quorum?
Yeah, we're doing our absolute best to hold on, and it's not easy. And like you all said before, we have lots of expenses, lots of fees. People are calling in bomb threats. People are threatening to use FBI on us. They're harassing our families back in Texas. They're trying to break into people's houses. They're trying to do all sorts of things to try to get us. This is a lot of stress on not only us, but on our families and our loved ones.
Yeah, cry me a river. It's always about them. Have you noticed that? How long does a Democrat have to talk before suddenly they're the victims? They're the most narcissistic freaks that any human society ever produced in human history. And by the way, I mean, my heavens, that guy, I'm sorry, he looks horrible. That's the ringleader. That's Texas Democrat Gene Wu. He's the ringleader in all this. That guy looks absolutely haggard. It's a perfect symbol of the party as a whole. I mean, can you believe they're actually, you heard it, they're actually doubling down on this democracy is at stake gimmick. How did that work out for Kamala? How did that work out for you guys in November? The democracy at stake shtick suffered the worst presidential defeat in modern political history. You lost every single swing state. Not even Obama was able to pull off winning every single swing state. You lost the popular vote. You lost the electoral vote. You lost the House, you lost the Senate, you lost the majority of governorships, you lost the majority of state legislatures. How could anyone possibly buy this nonsense that you're the defenders of democracy when you freaking refuse to vote? When your antics have in effect shut down the democratic process, it's beyond a parity of repulsiveness. But what's really happening here, unfortunately for the Democrats, is that this redistricting battle has actually exposed just how badly Democrats have been cheating for decades and how really it's the end of the line for precisely those antics. This is exactly what Governor Abbott highlighted there on CNN. While all these blue state governors are literally crying about Texas gerrymandering, they're conveniently hoping you won't notice that their own states, California, Illinois, New York, Massachusetts, these are all states that have been so thoroughly gerrymandered that they look like abstract art. Currently, there are a half dozen blue states that have eliminated every single Republican congressional seat. So we're talking states like Connecticut, Massachusetts, Hawaii, Rhode Island, Vermont, in fact, all of New England, every congressional seat in all six New England states is represented entirely by Democrats. So blue states have largely maxed themselves out in terms of gerrymandering. And then you have the even more fundamental problem that there aren't that many blue states anymore. They are becoming an endangered species. There are now technically 31 solid red states, just 19 solid blue states. And even the purple states, the swing states, they're increasingly all turning red in terms of voter registration trends, like Arizona, Pennsylvania, New Jersey is becoming increasingly red, Minnesota, New Mexico, New Hampshire, Virginia. And then, of course, you have the new census figures coming out either by 2030 or sooner if President Trump has his way that will show a massive population depletion in virtually every single major blue state, California, New York, Illinois. They are all losing congressional seats and they are all losing electoral college votes because so much of their population has shriveled up with so many leftugees fleeing for the freedom of red states. So bottom line, blue states are completely tapped out. The Democrat Party is objectively a party in abject decline. It is a dying party. Whereas the GOP, the new MAGA-inspired America First GOP, is a party on the ascent. It's a party that's growing by leaps and bounds. In the 25 states that keep track of voter registration trends by party affiliation, the GOP is out-registering the Democrats in every single one of those states. Plus, not only are blue states suffering from their own refugee population flight, but the mass deportations of illegal migrants are crushing their population numbers as well. What you just saw there with Greg Abbott on CNN was the full confidence that comes from the recognition that we're not just winning the congressional redistricting battle with blue states. We're not just winning. We've already won. It's already baked into the cake. There is no redistricting arms race. We've won the race.
Lastly today, I want to play most of an episode of the Forgotten History Channel on YouTube, again from the past few days, as of our show today. And this is from their Most Corrupt series, and it's titled Karen Bass and the Downfall of Los Angeles, referring to Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass. This show discusses a longtime communist operative and sympathizer, Mayor Karen Bass's background and her, along with radical leftist California Governor Gavin Newsom and the majority of the communist Democrat-dominated state legislatures, utter incompetence in running Los Angeles and the state of California, including this year's disastrous Los Angeles wildfires that destroyed thousands of expensive homes in Los Angeles. As I understand it, Newsom and the state legislature trying to pass a state budget with a huge tens of billions deficit this year managed to come up with $50 million to fund what they call Trump-proofing California that included funding for insane leftist crap like transgender internet cafes and efforts to make the port of Los Angeles green as part of fighting the communist left's climate change delusion. In the course of passing the new state and Los Angeles budgets, more than $100 million intended for firefighting and remediation efforts was cut from the state budget, while more than $17 million was cut for the same thing from Los Angeles budget. And the funds then would, instead of funding that, they want to keep funding things that helped illegal aliens as part of their plot to take over the world, the country, and ultimately the world, yes. My apologies for the very last word being cut from this video. I tried to correct this in editing the clip, but I was unsuccessful before we had to get the show out. What was lost was the phrase effective leadership. You're talking about they're calling into question Karen Bass's commitment to public safety and effective leadership.
Key politicians have clearly demonstrated track records of absolute failure and fiscal mismanagement than the Democrats who run the state of California. From the governors down to the mayors, they have created an environment that has become untenable for those who can and have abandoned the state. Los Angeles is a prime example of a city that has died in a state and is on life support. Only the obituary has yet to be posted. Who is Mayor Karen Bass? What is her background? What have her policies been? How do people like her keep getting reelected? Hello, I'm Colin Heaton, former history professor, Army and Marine Corps veteran, and welcome to this episode of Forgotten History. Karen Bass was born on October 3, 1953, in Los Angeles, California. Her mother was Wilhelmina Duckett, a housewife, and her father was DeWitt Talmadge Bass, a postman. They lived in the Venice and Fairfax neighborhoods of Los Angeles. While in middle school, Bass began volunteering for Robert Kennedy's presidential campaign and graduated from Alexander Hamilton High School in 1971. Bass studied philosophy at San Diego State University from 1971 to 1973 and graduated from the Physician Assistant Program at the USC Keck School of Medicine in 1982. But in the mid-1970s, she was an organizer for the Vince Ramos Brigade, a pro-Cuban revolution group that organized trips by Americans to Cuba. She visited Cuba eight times in the 1970s. Bass was an avowed communist and active member in the Vince Ramos Brigade, a Marxist training program linked to Fidel Castro's regime aimed at radicalizing young Americans into communist ideology. It was not for cultural exchange, but for ideological indoctrination. The trips to Cuba were to ostensibly work in solidarity with the Cuban people, often harvesting sugarcane or participating in construction projects. In reality, it was a terrorist training program teaching young radicals like Bass in the dark arts of subterfuge. The ultimate objective was to protest what they called U.S. imperialism and support the Cuban Revolution. Bass's involvement with the Vince Ramos Brigade is significant. A Los Angeles police investigator testified before Congress about the group, stating that its members were trained in guerrilla warfare, sabotage, and bomb-making. Bass was not just a participant, she was a leader, visiting Cuba multiple times and praising Castro, a dictator known for his oppressive regime. Even after Castro's death, Bass referred to it as a great loss to the Cuban people, a statement that raises questions about her alignment with such a controversial figure. These trips were not illegal, but they were monitored by the FBI and CIA during the Cold War because Cuba was a communist dictatorship and a geopolitical adversary. One of her constant companions begins with Susan Rosenberg, who was also closely connected to the Weather Underground founders Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. All were instrumental in coordinating the brigade's U.S.-Cuba activities. Dorn even negotiated directly with the Cuban government to organize the trips for American radicals. Ayers was also one of Barack Obama's Chicago mentors during his youth radicalization. Whenever the Vince Aramis Brigade delegation arrived in Cuba, they were hosted by the Institute of Friendship and the Peoples, ICAP, an organization closely tied to the Cuban Communist government. ICAP, or ICAP, is led by Fernando González Yort, a former member of the WASP network, a group of Cuban spies convicted in the United States for espionage. In an exclusive interview with ADN America, former Cuban intelligence officer Enrique Garcia Diaz confirmed that ICAP plays a dual role, officially promoting solidarity while covertly supporting Cuban intelligence operations. Garcia Diaz confirmed that assertions directly to ADN America, saying that once potential targets are recruited, Havana explores how to utilize those individuals' positions in American society. In essence, BAS, among others, is a communist plant within the U.S. government at both the federal and state levels. The Vince Aramis Brigade's ties to domestic terror groups are well documented. Among its recruits was Susan Rosenberg, a member of the M19 or May 19th communist organization, an offshoot of the Weather Underground, who participated in the November 7, 1983 bombing of the U.S. Capitol. Rosenberg was the most high-profile person convicted, along with six others, in the Capitol bombing and pardoned by President Bill Clinton. Due to her close association with Karen Bass, many believe that Bass was also pardoned. This is untrue, as she was never indicted or convicted in that case. In addition to the Capitol bombing, the indictment charged the seven with conspiring to detonate explosives at three Washington military facilities and a number of sites in New York, including an FBI office on Staten Island, the Israeli Aircraft Industries building, the South African Consulate, and the Patrolman's Benevolent Association. The conspirators also were charged with surveying other bombing targets as part of their armed propaganda campaign, including the old executive office building adjacent to the White House, the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, and the Army Aberdeen Proving Ground in Maryland. And Bass knew them all. The defendants included Elizabeth Ann Duke, who was still being sought as a fugitive, Laura Whitehorn, Linda Evans, Marilyn Buck, and the aforementioned Susan Rosenberg, Timothy Blunk, and Alan Berkman, all of whom were incarcerated for other crimes, according to a Justice Department spokesman. In the alleged conspiracy, which began in July 1982 and extended to May 23, 1985, the defendants and unnamed co-conspirators, and many believe that Karen Bass is one of those, operated under the organizational names Revolutionary Fighting Group, Armed Resistance Unit, and the Red Guerrilla Resistance. Bass later earned a Bachelor of Science with a major in Health Sciences from California State University, Dominguez Hills, in 1990. Bass later received a Master of Social Work from the USC Suzanne Dvorak Peck School of Social Work in 2015 while serving in the House of Representatives. Bass never disavowed her communist sympathies. In fact, by taking the oath of office in Congress or as a mayor, she has openly violated these oaths of office by her actions, such as supporting a sanctuary city for illegal immigrant criminals, endangering public safety in violation of federal immigration law. Bass, being an elected official, is astounding, but not unprecedented. Many people with open and provable communist sympathies have served in Congress, but the amazing thing is those same people would, by their own actions, be ineligible to serve in the U.S. military. And we all take the oath to protect the Constitution and protect the nation, which is impossible if you support any form of socialism. But Bass is just one in a long line of progressive Democrats who have used socialist methods to strengthen their grip on their cities and states, reducing the quality of life for residents and increasing the major problems they claim to be correcting, much to the detriment of their constituents. Bass made headlines when it came to light that she was out of the country during the first critical days of the Palisades fire, one of the worst disasters in Los Angeles history. Instead of addressing the crisis, Bass was attending the inauguration of the newly elected communist president of Ghana, Dramani Mahama, further underscoring her deep ties to global leftist movements. Critics are calling for a deeper investigation into Bass's radical past and her affiliations with groups tied to domestic terrorism, particularly as the city of Los Angeles grapples with her controversial leadership during these ongoing crises. One reason for this renewed interest is Chris Simmons, a former Defense Intelligence Agency operative who played a key role in exposing Cuban spies in the U.S. He told ADN America that any interaction between ICAP and U.S. officials or their families should raise concerns, given the organization's history of intelligence gathering. But Bass was not just a member, she was a leader. She was described as a leader of the group in a 1975 communist publication, according to Politico, although her office tried damage control and denied she ever had that role. But the evidence proves otherwise. Simmons also stated, later they are projected once recruited against targets of interest. If, for family reasons or personal characteristics, they had the potential to penetrate government or political institutions, they are guided to moderate their radical public positions so they could and can better integrate themselves for the future, as was done with convicted Cuban spy Ana Belén Montes. In fact, according to a report published by Tablet magazine, Bass led the movement's Southern California operations. In fact, an October 1975 edition of the Communist Daily World newspaper described Bass as leader of the Vince Ramos Brigade in Southern California. Another PhD dissertation documented her as a brigadista and then organizer for the Vince Ramos Brigades, saying, Karen visited Cuba every 6 months. Bass herself has stated that her involvement was driven by a desire to build relations between the American and Cuban people, and she has expressed admiration for aspects of the Cuban dictatorship's social policies. But Bass is not alone. Several current and former U.S. lawmakers have also been linked to the Vince Ramos Brigade and Fidel Castro. According to Reason magazine, prominent Democrat figures include Gregory Meeks, Democrat, congressman from New York, Barbara Lee, Democrat, former congresswoman from Northern California, Bill Delahunt, Democrat, Massachusetts, former congressman, Leon Panetta, Democrat, former congressman from California, who later served as Secretary of Defense and Director of the CIA, Chris Dodd, Democrat, Connecticut, former senator from that state, Tom Harkin, Democrat, from Iowa, former senator, Antonio Villaraigosa, Democrat, former mayor of Los Angeles, who also traveled to Cuba with the brigade, and many others. They all joined Susan Rosenberg, a former member of the domestic terror group May 19th Communist Organization. So it would appear that the communists are deeply embedded within American politics. Despite all of this, Bass was elected to the California State Assembly in 2004 and was the first African-American woman to serve as speaker of any U.S. state legislature in 2008. She became a community organizer and also served in the U.S. House of Representatives from 2011 to 2022, chairing the Congressional Black Caucus. Bass also supported the anarchy and riots of 2020, along with progressive Democrats like Jerry Nadler, Kamala Harris, and Nancy Pelosi, all who also supported Antifa and Black Lives Matter rampages. And see our video on those two subjects. As a speaker, Bass promoted numerous laws to improve the state's child welfare system. During her first year, she ushered through expansion of healthy families and insurance coverage, to prevent children from going without health insurance and worked to eliminate bureaucratic impediments to the certification of small businesses. She also secured more than $2.3 million to help revitalize the historic Vision Theater in Los Angeles and more than $600 million for Los Angeles Unified School District, although it would not appear the money did much good given the scores coming out of those schools for students. Bass worked with the governor and initiated the California Commission on the 21st Century Economy to reform California's tax code. She also fought to repeal the California Citizens Redistricting Commission. But Bass's efforts may have been self-serving, as none of those projects bore fruit and the city was plunged ever deeper into debt and higher taxes, which happened throughout the state. Bass naturally supported the campaigns of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, and her loyalty was repaid. She was selected as the frontrunner to be the vice presidential pick for Joseph Biden. And see our four videos on Biden. But Bass was criticized for a statement she made in 2016 on the death of Cuban leader Fidel Castro, which she called a great loss to the Cuban people. Bass said that she had been trying to express her condolences to the Cuban population, but added that it's certainly something that I would not say again. Bass must have forgotten about the hundreds of thousands of Cubans who fled that island nation to try to reach American shores to have freedom. But Bass's problems were not over. Her communist past was coming back to haunt her, and even the most progressive left-wing socialist Democrats, initially working under the radar, saw that having Bass on the ticket was a disaster waiting to manifest itself. Mainstream America, including many lucid Democrats, would never elect a known communist. When Biden finally chose Kamala Harris as his running mate, Bass tweeted, "At Kamala Harris is a great choice for vice president." Her tenacious pursuit of justice and relentless advocacy for the people is what is needed right now. Spoiler alert, we will have a video on Kamala Harris. In November 2020, Biden then considered Bass for Secretary of Housing and Urban Development and Secretary of Health and Human Services, but her past once again came back to haunt Democrats. Her confirmation hearings and grilling about her past from Republicans would have been explosive for the Democrat platform. Ultimately, Biden nominated Ohio Representative Marsha Fudge and California Attorney General Xavier Becerra to those posts, respectively, to avoid the controversy. But Bass was elected mayor of Los Angeles in 2022, which proved disastrous for the city across the board. This was brought forward rapidly when a video resurfaced highlighting her Marxist roots, which is now gaining traction online. Documentary filmmaker Errol Weber recently exposed Bass's involvement with the Venceramas Brigade and her 15 trips to Cuba and her support of spreading communism through violent revolution on a global scale. Given all the information that is known about Bass, despite the best efforts of liberal media outlets and publications to deny, disavow, or even hide her past, the facts raise troubling questions about her radical political ideology and approach to governance. But when cornered, Bass has publicly said the trips to Cuba shaped her views on healthcare and international solidarity, not communist ideology. She and her handlers claim that she did not participate in Venceramas Brigade trips to Cuba in her youth. We know that is a lie. There are documented receipts. Bass later said in interviews that she regretted the wording of her comments and made it clear that she does not support authoritarian regimes, but facts are very stubborn things. However, it would seem that Bass and the Democrats, especially under the Biden administration, continued their graft. They secured federal grants, such as $21.8 million in 2024 and later another $22 million via FEMA, specifically from the DHS FEMA Shelter and Services Program, to support newly arrived migrant families with food, housing, medical care, and transport. And please see our videos on the wildfires, FEMA, and Alejandro Mayorkas. The main argument Democrats use is that those aren't taxpayer-funded cash handouts. They're funded by private charitable donations. What they fail to say is that in some cases that is true, but millions of tax dollars were diverted to NGOs under the table who then used that money for illegals as a cover. This was manifested by Mayor Bass's political initiative. In mid-July 2025, she signed an executive order prompting nonprofits like CHIRLA and philanthropic partners to distribute cash cards worth a couple of $100 to each family affected by ICE raids. Remember, it is a sanctuary city and a sanctuary state. Democrat supporters emphasized this is a legal, federally funded humanitarian response, part of LA's sanctuary city policies meant to protect vulnerable populations and ensure community cohesion. But a forensic audit of where taxpayer money went is problematic for Bass and Governor Gavin Newsom. In effect, California taxpayers are expected to support illegals who will not work or are afraid to go to work for fear of being arrested. That is interfering with a federal law enforcement operation that is upholding federal immigration law. Bass also updated sanctuary city protocols to train her staff on how to avoid aiding ICE. That is a felony with several million counts if you look at every illegal they protect. But where did the money really come from? A leaked memo dated January 6, 2024 reveals that Karen Bass demanded her fire department's cut an extra $49 million just 1 week before the wildfires broke out from their budgets. This cut was already on top of $17.6 million of cuts in her latest budget. Again, see our video on those California wildfires and FEMA. The extra cuts requested just days before the fires broke out and devastated swaths of Los Angeles would have shut down 16 fire stations and crippled the department's ability to respond to emergencies. This was in fact manifested during the devastating LA wildfires, and Bass, as well as Newsom, are still under fire for her poor handling of the crisis. Her leadership has drawn legitimate criticism, and a recall election is being generated against her. These funds being redirected from firefighting efforts to activist organizations supporting illegals have raised concerns about Bass's commitment to public safety and effective.
That's all for our show today. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly here on The Jim Benson Show pages at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show. And elsewhere on the internet. And elsewhere on the internet, including x.com at James B5030-91977, on Rumble.com and Apple Podcasts. While you're at it, if you visit my pages here at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show, scroll down on the first page there and check out our related videos section at the bottom. Look for us again 2 weeks from today in this same time slot with another episode of the show. Have a great rest of your day and evening.